What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today. Going to be joined by co-host Wes Goldberg in just a minute. The Dubs take a massive L. We got more injury news, both on the good and bad side. And I have a draft question for Wes and for anyone listening that I find pretty interesting. I think you will, too. It's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got Wes Goldberg joining us in just a minute. The Dubs took a absolute beatdown at the hand of the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic. And, some might call it a scheduled loss. I don't know. It was bad. Second night of back-to-back. I mean, I don't care when you're playing. A 45-point loss is pretty unacceptable. But it happened. Going to talk a little bit about that because there was a bright spot or two. I also have a draft question I want to ask Wes. I want to ask all of you because watching Luka Doncic, it made me think of something. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, attention, past, present, and future MyBookie players. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congratulations. You've got extra holiday spending money. If you lose, congrats, because MyBookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer. MyBookie welcomes all to come play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting a sports bet but have lots of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process, and the best part is if you join this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. That's on the top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat that. That's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply can't lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Wes, what's up, man? You were there, feet on the ground, well, feet courtside, I guess, in Dallas, but you got to see tonight's beatdown, drubbing, whatever you want to call it. Anything you took away from being there, besides Luka being incredible?
Well, I'm a little hesitant to say what my real takeaway is because we got that one mailbag question like last week or something about how I was praising LeBron James too much. And if I say anything nice about any other player that's not on the Warriors, so I guess our listeners hate me. But that said, Luka Doncic is a lot of fun to watch. So little inside baseball for fans who don't care, but you know, a lot of where the beat reporters, the media section sits, it used to be courtside at almost every arena, but within like the last 10 or 15 years, media has been moved up into like lower bowl or upper bowl or something like that. So not a lot of places, not a lot of arenas that still do courtside seating for media. Dallas is one of the places that still does it. And so being able to sit courtside and watch Luka do what he did, just go basically full Larry Bird merged with James Harden on the Warriors defense that was without Draymond Green and had a really hard time running any interference on him whatsoever, was kind of cool to see that up close and in person. So, I think there's a certain part of where you just sort of have to like kind of respect it and understand that you're witnessing literally something that was historic with not only in the regards to the performance that he put on, but we are watching the emergence of a guy who could be one of the best players in this league and has, you know, all of those intangible tools and things to be, you know, among the greatest scorers we've ever seen play this game. So Really cool to see that happen in person, you know, despite the loss, which I guess we'll get into.
Yeah, and just a heads up, it's, you know, we don't have enough reason to hate Luka yet. It's like LeBron, Westbrook. You can throw Harden in there too. Luka's too young. He's too likable now.
Got it.
Give us another season or two, maybe we'll start to hate him. But I mean, that is one of the amazing things is he's what, 19 doing this? Like, that's the incredible part is that he's so young and to be doing it this way. And my favorite part is he was 6 of 10 from three because, you know, the three pointer is such a big deal in today's NBA. Yeah. And he, don't get me wrong, he's really good, but he's a guy that has shot. He shot, what, 32% from three last year, is about 30% from three this year. Like, if that really comes together to where he's above 35%, like, forget it.
This guy will, right? I mean, it's going to. Yeah, and I mean, in that first half, he shot 90% against the Warriors. 90%, 10 of 11. 90% in that first half, scoring 33 points in 20 minutes. Yeah. Not even. I mean, are you kidding me? It's insane.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He does deserve the praise, but it was also against a very makeshift Warriors team that, you know, I think, what, Kai Bowman was guarding him, who, by the way, actually had a pretty solid game. I mean, I guess if you're picking a Warrior that had a good game tonight, it would be Kai Bowman, who went 7 of 10 from the field, 16 points, 2 of 3 from 3. And one thing that I noticed and have noticed over the last couple games was I think he threw down that dunk in transition against Boston, and the bench is going crazy, and everyone's kind of losing it because he's, you know, he's what, he's 6'1". He's not a big guy or anything. And so I thought, oh, that's a nice highlight. But then he's thrown down a couple more dunks over the last couple games. Like, he is definitely more athletic than I expected, or at least since I've seen, you know, since he's been dunking these last couple games. Like, he's an impressive athlete too.
I mean, this is a guy who had a football offer to go to Alabama, right? I mean, he's not unathletic. So he decided to turn down that offer. He could have went to, you know, UNC. I think he actually accepted an offer to go to North Carolina to play football and decided, you know what? He consulted with his brother. He was like, my first love, my real passion is basketball. And so he went all the way into that and ended up getting to Boston College eventually and just sort of carving out a niche for himself. So he is an athletic player with a steep learning curve still, and I think that's still true. But one of the things that has been so impressive about him is just he loves to pick up at full court. He loves to guard the entire floor, and he did that with Doncic. It just, like, he didn't seem phased when Doncic was – and Doncic was, like, pulling up and making shots in his face, no problem, obviously.
Yeah.
But he didn't seem phased by it in a way I think a lot of rookies typically would. And so I think that mindset will definitely help him.
Yeah, he's definitely got a football mindset and mentality when it comes to just his aggressiveness on the floor. What do you think? I mean, there's you know, we could talk more Dubs. Eric Paschal put up 22 on kind of an inefficient night.
That
don't matter. Yeah, you know, he's good. Like, that's all we know so far. What do you think of the Mavs overall? Kristaps Porzingis is still struggling. I thought this might be a get-right game for him, as we've seen for a lot of, you know, struggling stars the Warriors have been this year, a get-right game, but still struggling. What do you think of the Mavs this season? Do you think they're going to be a playoff team, or do you think they're going to be one of these teams, you know, 45 wins and just on the outside looking in?
I think they make the playoffs. You know, I know that Kristaps is still kind of feeling his way, not only coming back from not playing for a year, but feeling his way playing next to a guy like Luka, who is a score-first point guard. He's not a pass-first point guard. He's a score-first point guard. And I know he's averaging a triple-double, basically, but I do think that Porzingis needs to feel out what his role as second banana looks like, because that's not what he was playing with the Knicks. So that'll come along, I think, eventually, and his presence does make sense next to Doncic, so I'm not that worried about it. And then you look at the rest of this roster, there's a bunch of good rotation guys. I mean, Seth Curry and played for the Mavericks tonight.
And
it's like there's a lot of solid dudes on that roster. I think they're going to make the playoff run. And by the way, if they make the playoffs, I mean, Luka is a guy who could win the MVP award. I think that's completely within the realm of possibility as a sophomore in the league.
Just one other piece for you, for Warriors fans. We love Seth Curry. We're all very invested in Seth Curry's career. So just, you know, just make sure you're on top of that too. But yeah, that was weird. He didn't even play tonight, and they still shot 57% from three against the Warriors. I'm with you. I do think that they can get it together. I think they're deeper than people think in the front court as well, even with Kristaps not playing great. There was some injury news that happened before tonight's game, and it wasn't positive. So it's becoming a trend, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But first, Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. Listening on the go? If you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. So, Wes, you had a crazy travel day, so we didn't actually get to talk yesterday after the – or 2 days ago, whatever it was, after the Warriors win over the Grizzlies. And Draymond, you know, caught some friendly fire from Kai Bowman and was able to finish the game, but I had predicted that he would miss the second game of the back-to-back against the Mavs, which he did, but oddly, it wasn't because of the elbow. They held him out because of heel soreness. But we were talking, this is probably going to be a trend for Draymond and for any of the stars that end up coming back, I would assume, as far as back-to-backs go and kind of a load management situation the rest of the season.
Yeah, and something that Steve Kerr alluded to earlier in the year after it was pretty clear that Steph Curry is going to miss basically the entire season. So when you look at what the season is going to be for the Warriors, that load management concept does make sense for Draymond Green, 29 years old, has a lot of mileage after five straight finals runs. You don't want to wear him out this year, right? I mean, this is all about building towards a championship contender for next season, the season after that. So you don't want to play him in games like this, especially like when he's a little bit banged up. He's been playing a lot more minutes than he's accustomed to. And they've had to because of all the injuries that they've had. But, you know, when he plays like that and he's banged up, I think he walked into the arena tonight. The trainers worked on him. They kind of got a feel for what was going on. Decided, you know what, this right heel soreness thing, not worth it. So they just benched him. I think you're absolutely right. I think we're going to see this as a trend. I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't play another game on the second night of back-to-back for the rest of the season. That would not surprise me. And Steve Kerr even said before the game today that, you know, they're going to have to manage his schedule and maybe even, you know, find strategic ways to give him some off nights. So I think this is something that we should expect going forward. It'll help, though, when the Warriors eventually start getting guys back. You look towards, you know, maybe getting Kevon Looney back next week. D'Angelo Russell will be reevaluated in 2 weeks along with Jacob Evans. By mid-December, we could be looking at a roster that has a lot of guys back, and suddenly, you know, you can sustain an off night from Draymond Green a little bit better than he did tonight.
Yeah, and that's not, you know, some crazy abundance, something that the Warriors have that other teams don't. They played with eight guys tonight. Like, they are still missing half their roster pretty much. So, yeah, I do think once they get some people back, it'll be easier to deal with. One thing, so also I wanted to say I'm glad that he did stick out that game against the Grizzlies, because we've talked about how important it is for them to get a win. And look, Wes Goldberg, I need to get some lotto numbers from you. You called the Warriors win against the Memphis Grizzlies. But it was a good win. I'm glad they got that done. I'm glad that he stayed in to get it done. It felt like Draymond kind of felt the importance of that game as well.
100%. Yeah. I mean, you look at how important that win was, and especially given the loss that happened tonight in Dallas, could you imagine having lost? I mean, what if Draymond hits his elbow, they blow that lead that they basically had for most of the game in Memphis, and then so you blow a lead and you lose like this? Dallas, we're singing a very different tune, right? But this is still a team, despite the loss, you know, the 48-point loss to the Mavericks, that is optimistic and positive. And I think that's largely because they beat the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies are not a good team. They're definitely not as good as the Mavericks, but a win is a win for this group. And you just need a few of those every once in a while. You probably need them more often than every eight games. You probably need them every three, you probably need them every four games. I think that's probably a realistic goal for this team going forward.
How was the locker room atmosphere after that win? Was it pretty loose, or were they just like, you know, whatever, it's about time, we got to win? Like,
after the Grizzlies game, I mean, people were joking around. They were clowning each other. I mean, they were basically giggling. I mean, it was like, you know, it's an interesting team because they're all college-aged for the most part, you know, and then plus Draymond Green basically on this road trip. But they kind of act like that, right? Yeah. It kind of felt like a couple of college basketball locker rooms that I've been in after wins. It's just a lot of joking around, a lot of hanging around. It's not something that necessarily happens in the NBA where guys will take, especially on the road, especially with the, you know, on the first night of a back-to-back set, guys will get in the locker room, take a shower, get dressed in their sweatpants, you know, like their Nike Tech fleeces, and then get onto the team bus to go to the team plane. But there were guys just hanging out, which I can't stress enough how rare that is in that situation. But they were just sort of basking in it, just bathing the win. So it was pretty cool to be in the locker room afterwards.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it's visible, that it does relieve some pressure, that it's for sure that like a win is definitely a weight off their shoulders. There was one question I wanted to ask you, Wes. Well, go ahead.
For the locker room after tonight, by the way, I will say it wasn't depressing. Like, it wasn't, there was a little bit of a let's just get amnesia real quick and forget that this ever happened. And that was kind of interesting too.
Well, yeah, because I mean, a night where you lose by 48 and a guy has a triple double in 25 minutes, you can count it as a fluke, so to speak. I mean, even though they have had some bad nights, especially after the win, that's like you said, that's why the Grizzlies game was so important, because let's say they do lose that one and then this happens, like, man, it would have been bad. But after that Grizzlies win, you can flush this one and move on. But watching Luka tonight and just throughout the season, it brings up a draft question that I want to ask you and any of the listeners, and hit us up with your answers on Twitter. You can do hashtag ask LO Warriors, or just, you know, at me at CTH415, at Wes. What's it again? WC Goldberg.
WC Goldberg. Mine's way easier to remember than yours. No,
mine's easy. That's my initials, 415. Like, come on now. That's, man, that hurts, because I actually changed it to make it even less confusing. Damn. I have to do some work. But the Warriors are in a position where they're going to be drafting top five, potentially. I mean, they're going to have a shot at the number one overall pick. And when Luka was drafted, he went third because Dallas traded up from five, I believe is the situation. But bottom line is, two teams passed on him, which, hindsight being 2020, was wrong. But even at the time, everyone was saying Luka should go one or two. But I remember the arguments against it were ball dominant player, and Phoenix has Devin Booker, and the Kings have De'Aaron Fox, guys who are also ball dominant that you want to have the ball, blah, blah, blah. That was just one argument. But for the Warriors, let's say they get in a situation where, I don't know, it's LaMelo Ball, I guess. He's a guy who is ball dominant, technically a point guard, big enough that you can play him with Steph and Clay, technically have him playing the three, however you want to look at it. Is that something that the Warriors should weigh in? Like, how much should that weigh against their, you know, their draft needs, I guess? Like, if it's LaMelo Ball and, you know, whoever, Scotty Lewis or someone, you know, do you take the guy that might be a better natural fit but isn't as good of a prospect? You know, like, just where would you stand in it?
Let's take, for example, LaMelo Ball versus like James Wiseman, right?
Yeah.
The Memphis center. So you could argue that the Warriors going next season would have a real need for Wiseman. I mean, you could argue that they have a need for him right now. So would you, depending on, okay, do you want to take the ball dominant guy that maybe you like a little bit more in a vacuum, just hypothetically, more than James Wiseman? Or do you take James Wiseman because he fits a need for you and you don't want to take the ball out of Steph's hands, or Draymond's hands, or Clay's hands next year? It's a legitimate question. The difference between this upcoming draft and the Luka draft is that Luka was obviously look, anybody that you talk to that watched one Luka Doncic game could tell you this guy's transcendent. He's going to be the real deal at the NBA level. I don't think that there's I know there's not a Luka type prospect in this upcoming draft, which kind of leads me to think, I've been leaning this way anyway, I don't think whoever they draft, I know this is boring, but I don't think they take a player. I think they end up trading the pick or taking a player, trading that player for another immediate contributor. that to me seems like the logical move for this team. But I'm not, there still needs to be a trade out there. There still needs to be a player out there worth trading a top two or three or four pick for. And that's not a guarantee, right? I know every Warriors fan is like, just do Giannis. It's like, okay, well, no, Giannis is going to demand a trade from Milwaukee. So let's cool the Jets on that. Who's the other player? Is it Bradley Beal? You know, what is that? Is, you know, if you're in love with James Wiseman or LaMelo Ball or any of these guys, do you want to take Beal? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to it is. What do you do with D'Angelo Russell? That's another question. So that's my long-winded way of saying is I think you take the best prospect available, and I think you always do that top four. Because if you're picking in the top four, you're probably there for a reason. In the Warriors' case, the reason is injuries, which means just take the best player available. Because if you think that, like, this isn't going to be the only time the Warriors ever deal with an injury. So just take the best player available. If it's LaMelo Ball, it's LaMelo Ball, and you figure out what to do with them. But I wouldn't be that concerned about it. I think you take the best player now, and even at that point, if you're not able to trade him right away, you have a better chance of trading him later.
Yeah, it's and that's a good point too. Luka was so far and ahead the best player in the draft that if the Warriors were faced with that decision, I think they would take Luka. But with this draft, at least early intel is it's James Wiseman and a bunch of guards, and even the small forwards that are looked at as top 10 prospects right now are, you know, playmaking small forwards. So it's it'll be interesting when it comes time. But again, yeah, I mean, who knows? And yeah, you're also right, man. You can make the case for them needing James Wiseman right now, you know? So it's I don't know. It'll be interesting when we get there. It was just a thought I had because of watching Luka and hearing some of the ridiculous excuses for not taking him over DeAndre Ayton or Marvin Bagley, who are both out for an extended chunk this year. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be – it's about, what, 65 more games away? So we'll have plenty of time.
The Warriors have the best odds right now. It's 14-something percent to get the number one pick. It's a 52% chance of landing a top four pick. So it's something that they're already thinking about it. We already know Bob Myers was out scouting James Wiseman up in Oregon. This is already happening. So it's not like we're jumping the gun, but we're not jumping the gun by talking about it by any means.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to continue to talk about it for another, what do we got? 6-7 months until it gets resolved. But, you know, that's part of the fun, man. I'm a huge draft guy, so I guess this is the right year to be covering the Warriors. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors. Take a look at that Jazz game and just keep on trucking, I guess, man. I don't know. I'm just laughing about this game against the Mavs. It's a wild season. But thank you guys for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Another episode, Locked On Warriors, Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.